So our next speaker is CJ Grace. CJ Grace is the author of Adulterous Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not. And when Arianna Huffington received a copy, she invited her to be a Huffington Post contributor. CJ is currently completing hotel chemo, My Wild Ride Through Breast Cancer and Infidelity. She dealt with the double whammy of discovering her husband's infidelity and shortly after being diagnosed with breast cancer by refusing to be a victim and keeping her wicked sense of humor. Thank you, CJ. Welcome.
Thank you, Lakeisha, and also heartfelt thanks to Gigi for organizing all these survivors events and inviting me to speak today. So when I found out that my partner was unfaithful, I realized after some time that really the best revenge was to get past the need for revenge. Because I'd heard all these stories. I heard about a contractor who was so angry about his wife's infidelity that he filled her car with cement. Well, that's an impressive way to take revenge, don't you think? But where do you go from there? A couple definitely doesn't go to reconciliation after that. Most likely, you'll have an expensive, acrimonious divorce. When you filled your former beloved's car with concrete, it does make it a tad difficult to, say, ask them for online passwords you can't find, such as for banking or for your music collection on iTunes, or more importantly, to negotiate over custody of your kids. And talking about kids, what kind of role model are you for them by treating their mom or their dad in that way? Revenge is toxic. You think you're hurting your errant spouse, but it's really you that you're hurting. So my view was, why not spend that life energy working on the best way to move forward so that I could thrive whether I chose to stay or to go? My aim was to become a more complete, creative, and joyful person with or without a partner. And I know that's not easy to do because we humans are emotional rather than purely rational creatures. But after finding out about your partner's infidelity, making decisions based on your emotions really isn't a wise idea. Whatever choices and actions I was considering doing, what I did was I first stopped and asked myself, is this serving my own long-term best interests? I have to say that divorce lawyers must love vengeful clients because the more disagreements and unreasonable demands, the more money the attorneys can rake in. I'm not saying that you have to be best buddies with your ex-partner, but it is extremely inconvenient if you can't even, say, talk to them on the phone. After all, one minute a partner is the love of your life, and then when you found out they've been cheating, they become an evil demon. But it's the same person, someone whom in the past you may have had a good life with, the mother or the father of your children. Rather than demonizing your partner, it's better to remember that they were the same flawed human being all along, with good points that originally drew you to them in the first place, and bad points that may make you now want to leave. So, how did I move forward when I found out about my husband's infidelity? I developed a six-part program to stop feeling like hell. And I certainly was feeling like hell when I first found out about the infidelity. And it's useful, this program, to cope with the emotional impact of almost any kind of adversity. And I used it to get through not only infidelity, but also breast cancer. So these are the six things that you can do. Number one, find confidants and mentors with your best interests at heart. They could be friends or paid counselors. Try to have at least one who's of the opposite sex to you because you might get useful insights that are very different from those of same-sex confidants. Number two, cultivate existing and new connections who are friends of your own rather than people you know through your spouse. Again, try to have friends of both sexes. Number three, and this was really important for me, laughter therapy. Hang out with people who make you laugh rather than bring you down. And I made sure I watched comedies and not depressing dramas. Despite being a former BBC journalist, I also gave up watching the news because it's all about bad news. Number four, love your body and become beautiful. By that, I mean get enough sleep, eat well, and exercise so that you become healthier and it will banish the blues. Number five, find your passion and be a hedonist, making time to do things you enjoy rather than constantly keeping your nose to the grindstone. And finally, number six, the past is gone and the future doesn't exist. Now is all there is. So I made sure I worked at trying to live in the present and try to become more mindful, much more fully engaged in what I was doing right now than churning the past or worrying about the future. So if I could wave a magic wand and make both the cancer and the infidelity never have happened, would I do it? You might be surprised to hear me say, no, thank you. Regret is not about the past. Regret is about the present. And even though I wouldn't want to go through those experiences again, and they were bleak and difficult, I'm very happy with my life as it is now. Because of what happened, I wrote my book about adultery. I'm writing another one about breast cancer and infidelity. And I have to say, yes, it took time, but I did learn to become more complete, creative, and joyful. And you can too. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. Regret is not about the past. I love that. Thank you for sharing your story.